And good morning. Hi, this is Dr. Morgan. Welcome to another edition of Health Essentials. You know, I'm pretty bad about this, but I'm going to try to correct it this morning. This program is Health Essentials. I'm your host, Dr. Morgan. I would be honored to take any calls or questions you may have, so I'm going to give out the phone number. You know, I kind of catch myself rambling on for 20 and 30 minutes sometimes before I actually give the phone number out. Well, not today. I'm going to give it right now. The number's 903-586-5257. If you didn't catch that, that's 903-586-5257, just in case you want to call. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
Hey, we're doing fantastic.
Well, you sound like you're awfully happy.
Well, we are. We are on our way over here to go get us some nice, fresh, healthy blueberries this morning.
Oh, well, which farm are you going to?
We're going out here to Lake Creek out here at Mont Alba.
Oh, well, perfect then. I tell you what, you're choosing the best time. The low temperature that when I drove through a valley this morning was 74 degrees and the high was 76, so this is the best morning this week to pick blueberries.
Well, it looks like they got plenty of big ones out here, too.
Oh, good.
We just wanted to say hi to you this morning and thank you for all your information that you give out to us and your love for the Lord.
Oh, well, you're so nice to say that. Thank you for your encouragement. I'll take it.
All righty. Have a blessed day, sir.
You too. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, that's a good way to start your Saturday morning, isn't it? Picking blueberries out of Lake Creek. Okay, if you want to join me on the radio, there's a phone line officially open at 903-586-5257. Good morning and welcome to the program. How are you?
I am doing well. I wanted to tell you that I didn't have any garlic in the house the other evening, and I used ear oil on that skin tag, and it dropped off within just hardly, because it has garlic, mullein for the pain, and tea tree.
So how'd you apply it?
I just put it on a Q-tip and
just slathered
it on.
Okay, great. Well, that was easy.
Yes.
Well, you know what? Well, see, I remember now. I told you to take a pair of scissors or a knife and make a small sliver of garlic and put
Correct.
On top of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you just used ear oil.
Well, and it has the garlic. That's the only garlic I had in the house. So I thought, well, I'll try it.
You know what? Nothing to lose. You're a genius.
No.
I made it far too complicated.
Well, I just thought I'd pass that information on.
Oh, that's just great. You made my day. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
Now, I realize that's one bit of information, but it was, for those of you that didn't catch that, do you know what a skin tag is? It represents an area where your body is trying to push something to the outside. I know it's just an analogy, but you've heard of somebody having a polyp before, right? So if a doctor orders a colonoscopy, and in the process of, examining the tissue of the colon, they might come across a polyp. As a general rule, you do not want polyps growing in your colon. Out of all the screening tests that are done, whether it's pap smears or mammographies, I think by far and away a colonoscopy probably proves the most beneficial to improving the health and the lives of people that get them. So if you had to choose one particular test that actually improves the outcome, and one of the reasons is because they can catch a polyp. Well, a polyp is going to be a growth. I don't want to overthink this, but if your body finds some tissues or cells toxic, it would rather try to push them out, and that's what a polyp is. Well, a skin tag is really not that radically different. Your body is trying to remove something, but it's pushing it out away from the body. So anything that causes a skin tag to fall off, I like that very much. My grandfather used to take a horse's hair from the tail, or maybe from the mane, and he would just tie a knot around it to choke it of oxygen. Anyway, I think I've seen these I think I've seen these little devices that look like clothespins for skin tags. But if garlic oil causes the skin tag to fall off, yay, that was good. All right, the phone number is once again open at 903-586-5257. I want to read this to you. I just want you to think about this. It won't take long. It comes from an article from Rupert Sheldrake, Ph.D., and it's called Epigenetics and Soviet Biology. Very, very interesting. I want you just to listen to this and think about it, because I really believe this is true. There are now many examples of epigenetic inheritance in plants and animals. For example, in a recent study with mice, the fears of the fathers were passed on to their children and grandchildren. And you're probably wondering, what is he talking about? Here it is. Male mice were made averse to the smell of a synthetic chemical, acetophenone, by being given mild electric shocks when they smelled it. It's kind of like Pavlov's dog, but in reverse. You know how he, rang the bell, and eventually, if you ring the bell every time that you give the dog a fresh ribeye steak, every time you ring the bell, the dog associates, hey, there's a ribeye steak coming. So it didn't take too terribly long to ring the bell, and all of a sudden the dog is just salivating because he's expecting the ribeye steak to come or the meaty bones. Anyway, so what they did was they took mice, and when they smelled the synthetic chemical, they gave them a mild electric shock. I don't know what the interpretation of mild is, but that cannot be fun, whether it's mild, moderate, or severe. So basically, they're electrocuting the mice when they smell this. So for at least two generations, their offspring reacted with fear to this smell, even though they had never been exposed to it before, and certainly they had not been shocked. So you can't tell me that if a person, let's just say a family adopts a child, you can't be shocked if the child exhibits some of the bizarre behavior or tendencies of the parents. I mean, if you know what they are. Haven't you ever heard of that happening before? Anyway, I find that very, very interesting. Although it's very sobering, though, because you start to think, okay, what kind of a mother am I? What kind of a father am I? The way that I take care of myself, and by disciplining myself to think good, wholesome thoughts, this is going to positively influence a child. Let me ask you a question. Do you want to raise children that have such extreme fear they're not willing to try anything new for fear of failure? No. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, good morning. It's a nice morning.
Yeah, it sure is. Thanks for calling.
Yeah. I wanted your opinion on the book about eating according to your blood type. I've been reading on it and found some interesting things, and it's like, what do you think about it?
Well, I think it's just like you said. I think it's interesting.
Yeah.
And I think if it proves to be true for you, then great. I haven't found that with everyone. And over the years, I've probably had well over 100 people eat that way, and some do well, and some haven't noticed any difference. So I just kind of take it like that.
Oh, okay.
And so I think as a general rule, there's primary ways to help improve a person, and there's secondary ways where they can get a little bit better, and I think that's one of those ways.
Oh, okay.
And so I think it's good information, and if you notice a benefit, then great. I'm all for it.
Yeah, I'm mainly reading it looking for allergies, to food allergies,
mm-hmm.
or say what, does create an allergic or whatever. Just how it affects the body.
Well, you know, the term they use in there is called lectins, right?
Yes.
Well, I think, I know this is my oversimplification, but if I think someone's having a lectin reaction that's causing an allergy,
yeah.
I almost always give them okra extracts, because okra turns off those lectin reactions. So,
oh.
See, in the book, he's going to say, Dr. Peter J. D'Amato is going to say, if you'll avoid these foods for this blood type, you won't have these lectin reactions.
Yeah.
A lot of times, all I do is just give a person okra extracts just to turn them off and see if the body can heal and manage itself that way. And a lot of time, it works perfectly.
Okay.
I know
that's
just
interesting.
Well, it's just a simple take on it.
Yeah. I know okra is listed as one of my, you know, type A foods that's okay to eat. And it was like, oh, okay. I guess I was finding some correlations to foods that are high in histamine. Because I have looked at things like that and avoided, you know, foods that are high in, and I went, that's funny, it's on this list. It's not to eat, to avoid.
Well,
I'm going,
are there any foods that you eat routinely that are high in histamines?
No, I avoid them.
Which ones did you avoid,
though? Nightshades, avocados, and tomatoes, yeah.
Oh, I would hate to give those up.
I know, I love both of them.
Well, you know what blood type I have?
What?
A, just like
you. And you eat them?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't have any
problems. Well, my sister was also looking at the difference between processed foods and fresh, you know, fresh-grown vegetables and stuff. And it's like, she says, on her allergy, she said, it looks like I can eat homegrown tomatoes. Because she didn't have any allergic reactions to a homegrown tomato where she was having it, you know, to canned tomatoes or cooked tomatoes or,
isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Well, you know, the basic difference is one food is alive and one food's dead.
Yeah. True. Okay.
Anyway.
I just wanted to hear you say something about it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. If you'd like to join me on the radio this morning, there's a phone line officially open. It's 903-586-5257. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Hi. My name is Lisa, and I have been diagnosed with MS. And I recently went to the doctor because I have constant pain and nerve pain in my fingers and numbing. And he told me to take turmeric acid.
It's
the turmeric what you season with.
Yeah, exactly. That yellow saffron-colored spice that you might put in food, like curry.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I didn't know that MS gave you arthritis.
Well, I'll say this. Any part of your brain that's affected and not functioning properly could result with malfunctions in other parts of the body, whether it's your fingertips or the top of your leg or your knee or your foot.
Yes.
Or your eye.
My leg. Oh.
Okay. Yeah, so if the primary root issue is we have some malfunctioning and inflammation in a certain part of the brain, oh, yes, the symptoms could be in your little pinky toe or the bottom of your foot.
Okay, and that turmeric will alleviate, is that inflammation, or?
Yeah, turmeric has got to be one of the, let me start over here. There is a very unique way that they measure the antioxidant capacity of almost anything and everything that's found in nature, and they call it the OREX score. And I think it stands for oxygen radical absorbance capacity. And I'm telling you, turmeric is one of the highest values on the list, and usually the higher that number is, the more capacity it has to absorb or neutralize free radicals.
Okay.
See, if it were me, I would take this maybe a little bit step further. I would say, okay, we know that the brain is primarily made of fat, if I can say it that way. So, and half of the dry weight is going to be made of cholesterol. So you're not going to get me to say the cholesterol is bad or fat is bad, because that's what your brain is primarily made of. And so I know also, if I take it a step further, just like the woman mentioned earlier that she doesn't eat avocados because of her blood type, avocados have a type of fat called a monounsaturated fatty acid, or monounsaturated fats. Same, it would be true with olive oil.
Yes.
Then you've got medium-chain triglycerides and short-chain fatty acids found in things like coconut oil and butter. But all these things are composed of fat. But what I'm going to suggest is when your body converts fat into energy, it doesn't give off a lot of oxidation, or it doesn't create a need for antioxidants. But that's completely different if a person's bulk of all their caloric intake is coming from sugar. Then that's where you're going to need the highest amount of turmeric and resveratrol and vitamin C and things like that.
Yeah.
You know, the easiest way that I can tell you, and I know this is just overly simplified, but if you take a tape measure and you measure the largest part of your waist, it's usually about an inch below your navel or your belly button, and okay. then you measure the largest part of your hips. If that number is 0.8, so you just take waist divided by hips.
Right.
If that number is 0.8 or above, that means you're converting too many carbohydrates, or carbohydrates are the main source of energy.
Oh.
And that gives off tremendous amounts of oxidation. Thus, you need more antioxidants like turmeric.
Okay.
And so that's one of the ways to get the body to heal or to help someone go into... I know that MS is an autoimmune disease of the nervous tissue or the brain. And so what you want is you want to drive that into remission to where you don't have any more symptoms.
Right.
And so one of the ways of doing that is trying to reduce carbohydrates and increase healthy fats. Because if you can train the body to convert fat into energy, then you start producing what are called ketone bodies. And ketone okay. bodies may be one of the great underrated healers of the brain when someone's had inflammation. And so your physician recommended turmeric. I want to take it a step further and find out how can we stop all the excessive oxidation of the brain so your body can actually heal.
Yes. Wow. Well, that I will go and purchase immediately because I'm a walking pain bomb.
Well, I want to make sure that you're pain-free in walking.
So I thank you so much. I will go and get that and put it into my diet, and I will do that measurement.
Good deal. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Side note, I'm going back to the MS. Dr. Roy Swank is one of the most famous medical doctors that has done just incredible amounts of research and made a lot of nutritional observations concerning multiple sclerosis. So I would say this right here. If your fingernails or your toenails are very, very soft, if they're very flexible, if they peel easily, if your hair falls out easily, if it's pretty brittle, if it looks dry, if you have patches where you have alligator skin and your skin is drier and more crackly, crackly may not be a real word. Anyway, those are all signs that you're very deficient in what's called omega-3 fatty acids. And historically, you can get those when you eat purslane, if you like krill oil, cod liver oil, tuna fish oil, flaxseed oil. All those are sources of omega-3 fatty acids. You get a little bit from, things like purslane. Have you ever eaten purslane before? I have not, but I've read a lot about it. Maybe I should grow some in the garden. That way I can just have a purslane salad because it's a rich source of omega-3 fatty acids. Anyway, that's a little food for thought right there. The other thing that Dr. Swank has referred to over and over is vitamin D levels. And so you have to look at yourself in the mirror. If your skin is very, very white, you're going to be the person that if you spend 20 minutes out in the sunlight, you'll probably make all the vitamin D that your body requires and needs very easily because you don't have a lot of natural pigments or pigmentation in your skin. But when you're black or you're dark brown, I mean, folks, this ain't rocket science, is it? If you have black skin, you have a lot more pigmentation or natural sunblock in your skin than, say, a person that's the other end of the spectrum that's like very, very white. And so what you have is the darker your skin, usually the more challenging it is for you to react with sunlight and produce vitamin D. Does that make sense? Okay. So if you'd like to join me on the radio, there's a phone line open, 903-586-5257. I think if I had a diagnosis of MS, because you know what the two most common symptoms are of a vitamin D deficiency? It's going to be number one, fatigue that never resolves itself or doesn't quite go away, so you just feel kind of chronically tired. And you have pain that never clears up. It never leaves you. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Hey, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
About a year ago, I had a aneurysm, and I had some brain was what they call it. But anyway, is there anything I can do that would help that? You know, I mean, I speak, but you know, sometimes I can't speak properly. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, there's one book that I'm reading right now that I really am into it. It's called The Brain's Way of Healing by Norman Doidge.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, buddy, I can't go into all the details, but you might want to look at that book. So if you have the internet, get on Amazon.com and just type in The Brain's Way of Healing and just tell me what you think about the information that you read. Tell me if that's practical for you or not.
Okay.
But these are just a lot of these techniques are completely free. It's just a matter of knowing what you're doing and why it works, because then you'll have confidence and you'll do it. Now, did you say the aneurysm was located in the brain?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you know which blood vessel it was?
No, I don't. He probably told me, but I don't remember.
Okay. Well, what are the challenges and difficulties you're having right now?
Speaking.
Okay. If I'm not mistaken, a very large part of the brain is devoted to the ability to speak. And so that covers kind of a broad area. I think a larger area is devoted to vision and eyesight, which you don't have any trouble with vision, do you?
No.
So we know it's not that part of the brain.
Right.
All right. If it were me, these are the things that I would look at. Now, you're going to have to take what I'm saying just very, very simply, because if you haven't heard this before, then it's going to come across as kind of bizarre, and you're going to ask yourself, well, why didn't my doctor tell me this? They never brought that up, or they never mentioned it to me. Years ago, I was reading an article, and they said they're almost completely positive now the reason why people have aneurysms. And so I can tell you right now, when I read titles like that, it gets my attention. I'm going, okay, I've got to read this. So when I read the article, and you know what? I have it in print somewhere. It's one of the journals. I'm kind of embarrassed. I've got a stack of journals of nearly, how tall are you?
I live in Liberty City.
Well, I was going to say, but how tall are you?
Well, I'm 6 foot.
Okay, I think I have a stack of journals maybe that high over the last 30 years. But anyway, right. This article said they think they've discovered why we have aneurysms. So I said, all right, I can't wait to hear this one. And they're saying that what seems to take place is there's an autoimmune reaction. Now, I'm not going to try to flesh that out to kind of give you bizarre details, but can I just suggest there are very specific reasons why your immune system would go to one particular artery and it would cause a weakness. And so what I want to do is I want to do this in reverse. One of the things that they've discovered on the situation of aneurysms is if they do a spinal tap, if they try to measure the person's levels of vitamin B12 in the cerebrospinal fluid, if there's an autoimmune reaction, they find that they're low. Now, I'm going to ask you a simple question. Do you have all the energy that you want?
No, not really. But, you know, I mean, I don't know.
Well, and one of the things I'm getting to is, I don't want to make this a panacea conversation where I try to make it cover everything, but vitamin B12 plays a very powerful role in what's called healing or repair, or what I like to call regeneration or rejuvenation. So if there's been any insult or hit to an artery or a vein or a nerve tissue, I think B12.
Okay.
And so vitamin B12 plays just a huge role in helping overcome autoimmune reactions.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the hallmarks of low B12 is you're more prone to having an autoimmune reaction. And so in your situation, I would probably, if you want to take sublingual B12, if you want to put liquid B12, if you want to take a tablet, a capsule, you're fine with that. But I bet you anything, you're going to need to take it up a notch, and that would probably be intramuscular or subcutaneous B12 injections. I always ask everybody, after they give themselves a B12 injection, how do you feel now? And if a person says, I have so much more energy than what I used to, it feels like somebody turned on the power switch, well, I'd like to think that's kind of a home run.
Right.
Because you want to be able to regain that ability to speak. Now, I'm going to tell a story real quick. A buddy of mine saw a very, very wealthy man, and I'll just leave it at that. I'm just saying, if he's worth $300 million, then money's probably no option, right?
Right.
But he had lost his ability to speak. And the man had spent 2 weeks at the Mayo Clinic, and on a different occasion he went to a different clinic where they spent 2 weeks examining every fluid, every specimen of blood, tissue specimens, and they couldn't solve why the man couldn't speak. Anyway, I'm cutting to the chase. He traced it back to the man's general practitioner prescribed two drugs. One was a statin drug. Have you ever heard of a statin drug?
Yes.
Lower cholesterol?
Yes.
Do you take any such drugs?
Yes.
You realize this is a home run? I don't know what your definition of a home run is, but I'm telling you my definition of a home run. Now, yes. I can't legally tell you to stop taking a statin drug.
Right.
But what I want you to do is look it up, buddy. And you're going to find out real quick that you can have dysphagia, you can lose your ability to speak properly, just from taking a statin drug.
Yeah, I've been reading up about that quite a bit. What you say is true.
So, guess what happened to the gentleman?
He got right.
He got right, yes. It took about 1 month for the negative effects of the two statin drugs to leave the body, and he all of a sudden mysteriously regained his ability to function normally and speak again. Well, that's just, I don't know why the Mayo Clinic never thought of that, or why all the other experts the gentleman went to ever thought of that, but it doesn't change the details of the story, does it? It's still true. So if you're taking a statin drug and you have lost your ability to speak the way that you want, can I just ask you to prayerfully consider thinking about that? Now, let's talk about the good stuff. There's a particular substance that God has created called rice, and on the rice, it has this exterior coating called rice bran. Just like
right.
Wheat might have wheat bran, or did your mom ever serve you wheat bran muffins as a boy?
I know.
They're really, they're... how'd she serve you, cinnamon rolls? I'm joking.
No, we raised on farm. You know
oh,
I mean?
So you had a wholesome diet growing up, didn't you?
Yes.
Good deal. Well, there's an extract that's found in nature called inositol hexaphosphate. It just happens to be very highly concentrated in rice bran.
Right.
And so that's one particular supplement that's cheap. It's easy to use, but one thing it does is it helps restore proper flexibility and strength of arteries. It also removes plaque and debris. It's been shown to remove, I don't know if you've ever heard of somebody having Alzheimer's disease where they may have tau proteins that are just deranged, damaged proteins that build up in the brain.
Yeah.
Or they'll have what's called beta amyloid plaque, and that's kind of one of the hallmarks of Alzheimer's and other forms of dementia. But the inositol hexaphosphate is going to act as a chelating agent to help scrub and clean and remove that stuff from the brain. So I love this stuff. And I tell you what, I almost always see very, very good results when I use inositol hexaphosphate.
Yeah.
So, those are several ideas right there.
Now, where did you get that intraviral?
Can I tell you where most people get it?
Where?
You're gonna think this is bizarre, but I'm just telling you how it is. When I drove into Jacksonville this morning.
Right.
I listened just shortly to 104.1, a country and western station here in this area, because
right.
they have some type of health radio program on, and I like just hearing that stuff. I mean, that's just kind
right.
of all I think about all day long, but that's just my deal. I enjoy it. And they were saying almost all injectables are becoming very, very scarce, because, and I won't go into all the details they talked about, so... It used to be that if you wanted vitamin B12 or injectable B12, all you had to do was go to your doctor and say, I'd like a series of B12 shots, and they'd say yes. Well, those days are over.
Wow.
It's been my experience that most medical doctors regard B12 as the greatest toxic poison on earth, because they just about won't ever give it. Now, some do. But anyway, to make a long story short, I used to have some of my patients, of course, I never recommended this. They just figured it out on their own. I would never do anything like that. They would just go to Tractor Supply and pick it up. And when the lady at the counter said, now, who exactly is this B12 for? And they would say, well, you know, I have a prize-winning standard poodle named Herman, and he's just not himself, so the doctor wants B12. Or they would go to the veterinarian. Now, I'm just kind of making a joke about this stuff. But,
right.
but can I tell you honestly what most people do? If you live in Mexico, anywhere in Mexico, you can go into any pharmacy that you want, and you can purchase all the liquid B12 that's designed for intramuscular or subcutaneous or subdermal injection. You can get it. Very easy. And so some of my clever patients have figured out if they have a friend from Mexico, or let's just say that one of the people they know has relatives in Mexico, they'll say, I'll pay your mother $20 to go to the pharmacy and get me a 6-month supply of injectable B12 and just mail it to me. These are the stories that I hear every day.
Wow.
And so it's, you know what the price is if you buy it at a pharmacy in Mexico?
What?
It's about a million times less than if you bought a pharmacy here. It's not really a million, but you know what I mean, don't you?
Yeah.
So it's just basically dirt cheap. But B12 is absolutely a non-toxic vitamin. It's water-soluble, meaning if you get too much, it just goes out, flushed out through your urine. It's not a big deal at all. I think I've seen one case where one person didn't do so well with B12, but besides that, everyone that I've ever seen that I felt like needed, there was a great benefit. I know because I ask them, are you better off for doing this? But B12 plays a very critical role in how well your nervous system and your blood vessels repair themselves. So
they didn't mention that to me.
Well, I'm not surprised. But I am because I want to see you regain your natural God-given ability, and I want to see this aneurysm stabilize, and I want to see it begin to reduce and strengthen.
Wow.
So anything that we can do to bless you and help you, so if you know anyone that has a connection from relatives in Mexico, just tell them, offer them, I will pay you $20. What's it going to take them? An hour tops to go to the pharmacy and put it in a box and put a mailing label on it?
Wow, that's,
as far as I know, there's nothing illegal about what I'm telling you. It's just vitamin B12.
Yeah.
And it's not my responsibility. I can't help it if the vast. Do you want to see a person have? Do you know what the word fear means?
Yes.
I've seen nurses look at me in the eye with just fear and shock, and I've seen medical doctors express such livid anger and fear over the suggestion that their patients needed B12. I'm going, you've got nothing to lose.
Money. They lose money. The doctors do.
I didn't say that. You did.
Okay.
But to make a long story short, what if you tried a series of B12 injections and you started to regain, rejuvenate, heal, repair? Man, I love those ideas.
I do, too. I'm going to find somebody to live in Mexico.
Yeah, that's all you got to do. I mean, that's just the way that you get around the current system that we have. Whatever hurdles are placed in front of us, we're going to find a way to get around it, right?
It sure is. I appreciate it, Doc.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. I realize that was with a great effort. I really have a lot of respect for you, sir, for taking a risk and calling like that. I don't know if y'all know this, but probably 62%, that's the latest study that I've read, 62% of all diabetics in the world are found in India, and to a large degree, it's because of low B12. How about that? Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. Two questions. The first one having to do with the rice bran you just spoke about.
Well, it's a stuff called inositol hexaphosphate, and sometimes they call it IP6 for short.
Oh, okay.
So if I didn't say IP6, I should have.
Okay, no problem. Okay. First one, so good, you're doing great. Second one, you always talk about journals that you're reading. Are those journals that regular lay people can subscribe to?
Yes, as long as you have money, they'll be happy to ship it to you anytime you want.
Can you give me a couple names?
Yeah, absolutely. One of the simple ones that I like, have you ever heard of the Weston A. Price?
I have not.
.org? If you were to type in westonaprice.org, that's Sally Fallon, Mary Enig's startup, but it's a nonprofit organization, but they have a journal they publish once a quarter, so that'd be four times a year.
Okay.
Her book is Nourishing Traditions, but it's just the Weston A. Price Foundation journal, and so I like it. And that's easy. I can't remember if it's $40 or $45, but I think it's worth every penny.
Okay.
And you're going to get a lot of different information. Actually, even if you get on their website, you could type in westonaprice.org, and you could just very, very easily access a lot of the articles. So they have a little, I'm not saying the search engine works as well as I want, but you could type in, say, rice bran. Or no, or let's just say we use the last caller. We could say aneurysms and type it in. Wouldn't it be interesting if you could kind of figure out a way to help improve an aneurysm? And it may be so much information that you're going, wow, why did my doctor not tell me any of this stuff?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well,
see, I can tell you're medically minded. If I were guessing, you're probably going to become a nurse one day. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Oh my goodness, how did I know that?
In 7 weeks.
I must have ESP. How else would I know that? Anyway, I don't have ESP.
I know.
Your mother told me.
Oh, there you go.
See, your mother tells me everything.
Of course she does.
If I want to know anything about your dad, she says, okay, but you can't tell him I told you. I'm joking.
Well, is there another one that you would recommend?
I like the ones that come from Thorne Research. They have so many good articles. Let me think. Those are some of the good ones.
Okay. Okay. Well, then let's.
You know what I spend a lot of time doing? I always have the option that if I want to pay $400 to attend a seminar,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes I'll look up the seminar speaker and he has completely written a book on the topic, and the book is only $19.95. I'm thinking, well, if I'm self-motivated to learn, I'll just soon buy the book and read it for myself. Instead of having
right.
to sit for 16 hours straight in the class and to get the same information. So,
absolutely.
But then again, you're a very motivated person. If you weren't motivated, you wouldn't be going to nursing school.
That is correct.
And so 7 weeks, boy, am I proud of you. Way to go.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, you know, you often speak about the journals, and I try to do a lot of outside reading because one of the things they teach us in nursing school is to do patient teaching. Now, I'm sure most of my instructors would be scared of the teaching that I'm doing, but it's all health related. And so I just figured, don't tell my teachers.
But, they're probably not listening right now.
No, they're not. But the patients are like, oh my goodness. So I try to do a lot of outside reading, but I just thought if I could, you know, snatch some of the journals that you referring to, that would help me as well.
The gentleman that called earlier, I think I recommended a book called The Brain's Way of Healing.
Yes, wrote it down.
And I don't think there's any one book that's perfect, but what you have is you have an individual that's devoted their life to helping people that have brain injuries, and so that's their forte. So I think that I could really learn a lot from them.
Yes.
But I think we're going to come to the point eventually that the effectiveness of a lot of the drugs that are prescribed for, actually nurses have to administer a lot of those, don't they?
Yes.
My point is, how does a person know what their options are if no one teaches them? So you're going to be the quintessential Florence Nightingale, and you're taking the responsibility of nursing quite seriously. So you're going to do whatever you can to avail yourself to helping your patients get well.
That's right. Be their advocate. Okay, excellent. Well, I appreciate that very much, and I will get on that.
Thank you very much. Congratulations on graduating.
Thank you. You have.
Let me
day.
Ask you this.
Oh, yeah.
When I graduated, my grade point average is 1.6. I think that's pretty good, isn't it? I'm joking. I bet you you're gonna graduate it with top honors.
That is my plan.
Woo! Well, way to go. Well, thanks for your call today.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. I bet you I haven't spoken to her in 10 years, or pretty close to that. Maybe 11. I'm just guessing. But I speak to her mother every so often. Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Yes. My name is Jan.
Hello, Jan.
I would like to get some advice for my aunt. They're telling her she has stage 5 renal failure.
Oh, bless her heart. Goodness.
Yeah, and
well, at stage 5, they probably are wanting to give her like renal or peritoneal dialysis, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, can I have a go with this?
Sure, please.
All right, here goes. I don't know how what her functional capacity is and what she can do, but I am convinced. I've seen patients in stage 5 renal failure do their very best if they take their shoes off and they walk barefoot in the grass every day.
She's allergic to grass.
I'm in on the planet Mars. I don't know what you're referring to, ma'am. Now, yeah, what happens if she comes in contact with grass?
Breaks out in a rash like you wouldn't believe.
Well, let me start over then. There's a gland just under the breastbone. Uh-huh. Just right there below the throat. It's called the thymus gland. And I know this is my oversimplification, but the thymus gland has a lot to do with how strong-willed a person is and if they have the will to live and the will to try and they don't give up and they're just going to keep on going and trying to improve themselves. But scientifically, the thymus gland has an awful lot to do with how our bodies react or overreact or become very sensitive to even things like grass. But wouldn't you agree with me? She is not supposed to be reacting to grass.
That sounds crazy to me.
Okay. Well, you don't react to grass, do you?
No.
You're wondering, this doesn't count. If you lay down in grass where there's bull nettles, you're going to have a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So we want to try to find a way to strengthen her on every level. So there are a few substances that I find weaken the thymus and weaken the kidneys beyond repair. It's called Splenda and sugar.
Yes.
And so if I wanted to give my kidneys a chance to heal, I think those two things right there are probably far harder on the kidneys than probably anything else we can put in the body. So she just has to come to the table and say, all right, I'm coming to the table with this clean spoon. I've tried everything that they've given me. I'm not getting any better. My kidneys aren't coming back to life. What do I do? And I would say, number one, if I can convince her to eat foods that contain more fat as opposed to less fat, so eggs are 65% fat, I might give her an egg in the morning.
Okay.
Maybe a half of an avocado.
Okay.
I would rather give her real food that God has made, because from the real food, you get all the ability to repair the kidneys with.
Yeah.
If we're not giving her real food, I don't know that I have a lot of confidence, because I've had a lot of test cases where they just refused real food, and I haven't seen one turn out well yet. And so there is a product that I like called Arginex. It's made from fermented beet pulp, and it's one of the greatest kidney cleaners, scrubbers, detoxifiers that I've ever seen. And I know it works on other body parts and organs also. Some people do well if they have a viral infection, they take Arginex. But I think it tends to be very specific toward the kidneys when you're trying to greatly improve them. And so the next thing that I think of is magnesium. It's been medically proven over and over again that when somebody has a lack of magnesium, meaning not enough to get the job done, the kidneys begin to struggle and to fail. I think I read this study on the radio probably 6 months ago, but I'll just tell you briefly. When they give 1/2 teaspoon of, or I think it was 1/4 to 1/2 teaspoon of just plain Jane, Arm & Hammer baking soda, in a glass of water, these were the people in kidney failure that did not get worse, and actually some got better, as opposed to those did not. So, can I suggest that maybe Arm & Hammer baking soda may actually help soothe the kidneys from so much acid? So if I'm trying to make it easy on the kidneys, I want to remove the very high acid foods called refined sugar from the diet. Mm-hmm. I love high sulfur foods. That would be broccoli and Brussels sprouts and cabbage. You know what I had a woman tell me this week? She said, you know, I've noticed that my blood, she's got diabetes. She said, I noticed that my blood sugar is so much better if I have cabbage that day. I said, really? You mean if you eat cabbage, your blood sugar is instantly better? She said, yes.
Well, she has diabetes also. What drove me crazy is they told her she could only have watermelon, cauliflower, I forgot what the other one was they said.
Well, cauliflower's got sulfur, but and maybe what I'm, if I can kill two or three birds with one stone, where you see the lowest sulfur content in people's diets, they have the most diabetes. When people have plenty of sulfur-rich foods, they have just about no diabetes. So cauliflower contains sulfur. Broccoli contains sulfur. Kale is full of sulfur. Does she like blue cheese?
I don't know. Like I said, they've only gave her three things to eat and told her not to stray from it no more than she did.
Just like the woman that called earlier, she was asking me about the blood type diet. I said, well, you know, one of the things that I turn off allergies with is I'll use okra extracts in a capsule.
Oh.
And so sometimes when I have a person that's just overreacting to everything, kind of like, can I tell you a story from yesterday? And I thought this was a good one.
All right.
This woman's telling me that she has just horrible, horrible headaches her entire life, and her husband was saying, well, she's got other issues. Anyway, I won't go into that. We'll just stick on the headaches, okay?
Okay.
But she would say that if she drinks a glass of red wine, it just completely sets her off, so she doesn't know what it's like to ever not have headaches. Well, when she walked in yesterday, she said, guess what? I don't have any more headaches. I'm going, oh, interesting.
Yeah.
And I said, well, what about the red wine? And she said, I've been drinking red wine and no headaches. Now, my point is, how do you like the idea of turning off allergies to where the body doesn't overreact to them anymore?
Hey.
And so with your aunt, maybe we need to try to get her body in better repair. And one of the ways of getting her in repair is maybe giving her okra extracts so she can start turning off allergies to actually good, wholesome foods.
Really?
How does that benefit her to have such a strong overreaction to grass where she can't even go outside?
Really?
That's nuts.
It is.
So a high vegetable and fatty meat diet. And so the higher the fat, the lower the protein. That means it's going to be easier on the kidneys. So she can pour olive oil on everything. She can put butter on anything she wants if she can tolerate that. But the next point that I want to get to, have you ever heard of what's called peritoneal dialysis?
I have.
Okay, do you know what the peritoneum is?
Not really.
Okay, well, what they do is, you know that you have, most people have two kidneys. They have a left kidney, they have a right kidney.
Yeah.
When I was in college, the first day of school, they took us to the human cadaver dissection lab, and the table next to me, their cadaver had seven kidneys.
Wow.
And I would say that's highly unusual.
Really?
Anyway, but you know, sometimes you see bizarre things like that. By the way, that was not my favorite class, human cadaver dissection. If I don't have to do that again, I'm really okay with that.
That sounds like it. Yeah.
But the peritoneum is going to be a structure that's found in the abdomen. But if the kidneys become weak, your abdomen or your gut can kind of take over and start filtering out debris. So I'm a huge believer in the use of probiotics when I'm trying to improve someone with kidney failure.
Okay.
Have you ever heard the term probiotics?
Oh, yes, sir.
And so I'm going to come across as pretty harsh, but believe me, I have love in my heart. I would probably tell her to come off all fruit, all grains, no sugar, and just eat meat and vegetables, or vegetables and a little bit of meat. And then let's start getting the kidneys in better working order. And let's turn off her allergies so she can be at peace with the universe.
Yep.
I'm telling you what, sometimes I see some pretty rough cases, and I think, okay, this is not going well after about a month. And the truth is, sometimes it takes 2 or 3 months just to get a person where they're not overreacting to everything.
Yeah.
But then again, in the real world, some people come to see me, and they've had problems for 40 years. And if you've had a problem for 40 years, well, good luck fixing it one day. Sometimes it takes a little bit of effort to reset the body.
Yeah.
But I think your aunt is worthy of being helped. So
yeah.
She needs magnesium. She needs omega-3 fatty acids. Probably needs a little bit of vitamin K2, that substance I talked about earlier, the IP6. We need to scrub her kidneys clean. But we need to get her gut and digestive tract in better working order. But I want to turn off those allergies where she didn't have any more reaction.
Yes.
So, those are some ideas.
Oh, Rhonda, thank you so much.
You're welcome. I hope that helps a whole lot.
Oh, I'm trusting it can't help but help.
Good deal. Well, thank you for your call, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, if you want to join me on the radio, there is a phone line officially open. That's 903-586-5257. Don't you think that's just being kind of reasonable, that if you could get to the point where you're so healthy that you no longer react to the things you used to react to, like walking in grass or breathing in grass? Good morning. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Dr. Morgan.
You're welcome.
I have
Thank
a question.
You.
My husband has fallen and has ruptured 3 discs in his lower back. They did surgery 3 weeks ago, but he has a pain in his left hip that he thinks is radiating from the back, and they cannot give him anything that will make the pain go away. Therefore, he's on a walker.
So hopefully, what makes the pain worse?
Getting up, standing up, or sitting up and on it, any pressure on it at all.
Well, is that when it's the very worst, when he's going from a chair to standing?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now, I'm not trying to be crude, but I've got to use terms to help me understand this, so just play along with me here.
Okay.
Would he say that the pain is just a whole lot worse when he goes from sitting in a chair or a recliner or a bed to going through the motion of standing up straight and erect?
Yes.
So if y'all were like sitting in a pew in church services, it would be brutal just getting up out of the pew, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir.
Does the pain start near the very base or the bottom of his lower back or where the hip area is and wrap around to the front?
No, he says it seems to radiate from the lower back over to about the middle of his left hip, then to the left side, and sometimes down his leg.
Okay. Well, but if it goes down the leg, does it go past the knee or not really?
Not really.
Okay. Well, he may have what's called a facet syndrome. And the facet looks like one shingle stacked up on top of another shingle, like on the roof line of a house. It's just overlapping. But if you get like a little fold of cartilage or tissue, or maybe I could say the joint capsule, if it gets wedged in there, that's when it's brutal to stand up. And so he gets relief if he lays down, right?
Yes, sir.
But it probably still aches, right?
Not real sure about that.
I would say he's probably got a jammed facet. And so did they do surgery on those 3 discs?
Yes, sir, they did.
As far as you know, is that healing beautifully?
Evidently it is. We saw the doctor 3 weeks ago, and he said everything looks fine. He doesn't seem to complain with his back, lower back. It's just the pain in the hip that he cannot put pressure on it to walk.
Well, and it may be the hip itself, and there is a limitation of what you can do on the air or on the radio, but I can tell you what I've seen in the past. Sometimes when I see people like that, I'll say, okay, and let me give you several ideas here. Let's just say that your husband is lying on a good firm mattress right now on his back. Is it the left hip or the right hip?
Left hip.
Okay, that's what I thought you said. If he can take his right knee and just raise it toward the chest like he's going to bend his knee or flex his hip, I would be curious if that causes pain. If that does not, that's a good sign. If he can flex his left knee toward the chest, if that doesn't cause pain, that's a good sign. But what I would do is, if his legs are straight, what he would attempt to do is he would try to take his left leg, hold it very straight at the knee, and just raise it straight off the ground like he's just elevating his leg up, like he's doing a leg raise, a straight leg raise. And I'd be curious if that generates hip pain. If it does, I probably am going to think it's going to be a facet. And so one of the techniques is to have a person hang, that may not be fun, but if there was a limb on a tree in the front yard where he could grab onto it and just try to let go of his lower body and let it hang, that may pull it back in place.
Oh.
Historically, a chiropractor would just take the leg and pull it long ways with traction to see if he couldn't pull that little bitty wedge or fold out. But I'm telling you, it can be just night or day. I've seen this thousands of times over the years where a person says, it kills me to get out of a chair or out of a bed. And you pull that little fold of tissue out of the facet joint back in place where it's not wedged like a... You know what a door wedge is that, you know, holds a door open?
Right.
It's almost like he's got a little wedge in there, so it's just brutal pain. So
okay.
pulling it out, I mean, but he may tell you... See, if he tells me he starts to get some relief by hanging from like a pull-up bar, Is he strong enough that he can grip something?
Yes, in fact, he did say that. He was hanging on to the shower door, and he said that does give relief.
Oh, well, you're making my job easy. Thank you.
Okay.
And so if you had some structure outside that would be strong enough to support him, I started to ask you if you have a clothesline, but people don't have clotheslines.
Well, I do, but I'm afraid he would pull it down.
Okay, let's not do that then. But do you think there might be like a tree limb that's relatively low to the ground where he could just kind of hang from it and distract that lower back?
I'll look for one.
I mean, they sell these fancy inversion tables. I don't know that you need one of those. And sometimes it's just going to a chiropractor and they pull the leg, but you'll hear it like pop, and all of a sudden it's like night and day relief. But if he said hanging from the shower door tends to give him relief, then I'm completely right for once.
That's wonderful.
So if he can just keep that up and do that more and more and more. And so I don't know how your house is oriented, but how tall is your husband?
About 5'10".
Well, he's not going to hang from a door jamb then, probably.
No.
There's got to be something that he can hang from. I don't know what that is. I'm just thinking tree limb.
How long would you think he should hang there? I mean, just...
Well, I know what I would do if it were me. Let's just say that in my garage I have a pull-up bar. If I grab that and hang on to it, I can start moving my legs and twisting, you know, side to side to see if I can get that to work back in place. It doesn't take long, but he could do that several times a day. But if it gives him relief, doesn't that give you confidence you're moving in the right direction?
Yes.
Yeah, my son Tom yesterday said, Dad, put me up in this tree, and when I put him on this limb, it was about 7 feet up, I just let him hang there. I said, now tell me when you're going to drop, son, so I can catch you. And he didn't tell me, but I caught him anyway. But he says, no, I want to go on a higher limb. I said, I can't reach any higher, son. Sorry. It was a redbud tree. Do you have a redbud tree?
Yes, I do.
Maybe yes. There's a limb out there that's kind of bent over that he can hang from.
All right.
But just have him... stretch and twist his lower back while he's hanging and see if that distractive technique helps pull that wedge back in place where it doesn't give him fits.
That's wonderful.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
I may have gone a little bit overboard on that, but you get the gist of it. I tell you, if you believe that God has designed the body to repair itself, then I think that you have a good belief. Good morning. How are you today?
Good morning, sir.
Thanks.
I wanted to let you know that there's a song that would help that last guy.
Yeah.
Roger Federer says, dang, dang, I'll take rope and hang. You ever heard that song?
No, I didn't catch it. You're breaking up a little bit. Could you try again?
Roger Federer sang a song that said, dang, I'll take rope and hang.
Sorry, you're breaking up very badly. I just can't make out what you're saying. Sorry about that.
Okay. Well, I tried.
You sure did try. Thanks anyway, buddy. Appreciate you. Anyway, if you want to join me on the radio, 903-586-5257. You know, even when I drive home from work and I return phone calls sometimes while I'm driving home, there's one area, and it used to not be this way, but I have dropped more phone calls in this one little area on 175, and usually that's what a person tells me, that you were breaking up right before I lost you totally. Good morning, and welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. Got a real quick question. My wife likes to drink tea, so what would be a good sweetener to use with that, please?
If you just use plain Jane Stevia.
Stevia, okay.
That's what I'd like you to try.
Okay, all right. Thanks so much. Have a
good deal. Thanks for your phone call. Bye-bye.
Sure, bye.
Of course, you may have to adjust your attitude toward liking it. Actually, isn't that true almost with anything? You have to convince yourself that you want to try something or do something. So, some people are terrified by avocados. I am not one of those people. But you may have to risk it and try it. Thanks for joining today. And Lord willing, I'll be back next week.